All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos, Los Angeles Chargers podcast on what was a fairly boring day in the NFL, wouldn't you say, Brandon?
Honestly, everything was boring today. Not just football, but everything was boring. That's why, for the games today, I went down the shore. I didn't even bother to watch most of the games today. And it's a good thing I didn't, because these games were pretty bad all the way around.
Yeah, there were a few good ones. We'll get to the good ones in a few. Shane, pretty boring day for you, watching the NFL?
Yeah. I didn't watch a lot of it live. I just, I was seeing the scores, and I had a bunch of, I had a lot of chores and errands and things to catch up on today, so I was just like, okay, but what I usually do is if there's games I miss because they get the highlight reels up really quick, I just watch them,
Yeah, and I'll be honest, you guys are good at that, but also considering how many blowouts we had today, the highlights are probably enough. I'm going to be real honest here. There were some really bad games. I'll go over this really quick. So the London game was terrible. I was working it, and I still napped a little bit. I still took a little snooze because it was so bad. And then the morning games were fine. The early slate was fine. This was the worst late slate of the last 10 years, probably. I mean, this late slate was atrocious. Chargers-Broncos, the Chargers were up like 20-0 at one point. Steelers and Raiders, we know what they are. Cowboys, we'll get to that. Falcons and Panthers, bro, any Panthers game that's on my television is automatically boredom. Just so boring, bro. I can't watch the Panthers. So that was the late window. The early window is pretty good. To start today, we're going to do a division review. And the division we're going to review today is the NFC East. And to that, I yield the floor to Brandon Furtado to talk about every team in this amazingly bizarre division.
Oh, where do I start? Right now, through the first 6 weeks, the only competent team in that division is the Washington Commanders, and the other three are complete garbage.
Who'd have seen that coming? The best team.
Oh yeah, and by the way, they weren't even bad today against the Ravens. I actually thought they were pretty solid, but continue, Brandon.
No, but and the game was close for a good amount of it. The only thing that can prevent Washington from going deep, winning this division, and maybe winning a playoff game is the fact that they don't have a defense, but their offense can score with the best. Their offense is basically top three in football. They can score with anybody. And that's crazy because outside of Jaden Daniels, it's just a lot of veterans who are past their prime, but are still, more than serviceable. They're still, decent. So it's interesting to see how that kind of works and how they've done well so far. But oh man, I mean, outside of that offense, their defense is still a big issue. I mean, they're giving up basically 30 plus points a week. That eventually is going to hurt them in the long run. As we get deeper into the season and teams really start game planning better on how to play them, they're going to run into some issues. But as of right now, they're the best team in that division. Then you go to the only other team in the division the only team that won today in the division, and they looked like crap also. My Philadelphia Eagles.
So your Eagles, I made this comment to you earlier, and I'm going to say it here on the show. Aren't you at your wit's end with your Eagles? I can imagine. You're just done, probably. Because this is at the point of stupidity. I mean, this was the Browns, dude.
Yeah. I was beating my head over this last year, and I'm still beating my head over it. I'm still beating my head over this team. Just beating myself up over this team for 6 weeks now. I mean, well, 5 weeks because I only played 5 games, but 6 weeks in total. This is the exact same team as last year. they, because the way that they've won three of their five games this season is the same reason why how they won 11 games last year. Sheer talent and luck. They are not skilled. They are not well coached. And quite frankly, they get out coached in pretty much every game. You know, no surprise there. We have one of the top three worst coaches in the league. You know, who only knows five, you know, play calls on offense and only has a handful of audibles that he can check to or give Jalen Hurts to check to. You know, today, listen, I do give credit to the Browns for one thing. They do actually have a top 10 defense. If you look at the numbers, it is, but with how bad their offense is and how many opportunities you got to, you know, to score after they didn't do anything with, and how many times you got good field position, you can't afford to not score. And like, if you listen, the game would have been a bigger blowout had you not had that awful blocked field goal to end the half. If that would have just stayed 10-3, or if you would have made that field goal at 13-3, you'd probably end up winning this game like 27-10. But you know, but you didn't. So you know, you go 10-10 to the half. Your offense once again for the fifth straight week. So this whole season, this offense has not scored a touchdown in the first quarter. Has not scored any points in the first quarter. Excuse me. And you're sitting there, you know, basically playing down to your competition every single week. And so you can't keep relying on the talent and the skill of these players to bail this ridiculous coaching staff out. You know what? It's not even the coaching staff. It's straight up one guy. It's Nick Sirianni. I mean, he, you know, his attitude, his antics, his lack of any kind of football knowledge is appalling. The guy is not fit to coach a JV high school team, let alone an NFL team, period. But I could talk about them forever. But listen, let's move
to something that's probably more incompetent than your Eagles, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. They're 100% more incompetent.
That's exactly where I was going next. Thank you. Because my God, listen, I know that they're injured, and I know that they haven't played well this year, but oh my God, you are still the Dallas Cowboys. You're expected to at least, if not win these games, be competitive. You haven't been competitive, it feels like, in one game this entire season. Yeah, and it's bad. Like, your defense at this point, it's pretty clear that your defense is just Micah Parsons. And that is it. It's pretty clear that because Trayvon Diggs is a no-show. Where's he at? You know, where is, you know, what is it? I mean, he's really the only other big piece on that defense besides Micah Parsons. I mean, they're not great, but that defense is much better when he's on the field. And when he's not, we see what happens. I mean, this defense wasn't good when they were on the field anyway. And now they're even worse somehow. I mean, you're sitting here giving up, like, how many yards have they given up over the past, I don't know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
I don't even want to think about it. I'm going to be real. I don't even want to think about it. I'm scared to think about it.
The numbers have to be out of this world. I mean, you got 44 hung on you by the Saints. You got 28 hung on you, and Derrick Henry killed you in week three. Then the Giants should have beat you. You deserve to lose that game. You beat the Steelers. Steelers should have beat you. And the Lions blew you out. This Dallas team should be 0-5 right now. 0-5. It's ridiculous. Or not 0-5, excuse me. 1-5.
Oh, yeah, so much better.
Yeah, I mean, listen. And their one win? Shocker. The Cleveland Browns, who the rest of the NFC East also beat. So, really, you're 0-6. Realistically.
Can I do a quick Brown statistic that was on Fox today that made me die? That this will just explain the entire Brown season. Now this was at halftime of the game against your Eagles, Brandon. So this got fixed in the second half. The Browns at that time at halftime of the Eagles game are 0-26 on their last 26 third on their last 26 third downs. Can't even say it properly. 0-26 on their last 26 third downs with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Yeah. like thank God the Eagles didn't play anyone slightly better than the Browns this week, because they would have lost. But you know what though? I mean, so we've covered Washington. I mean, they look great offensively. Defense isn't good. You know, Dallas is bad all the way around. Dak has looked horrible now for two or three straight weeks. Really, I love the Cowboys fans who are beating their chest. Yeah, after the first week saying, oh, Dak is back. The Cowboys are back. Yeah, how's that working out for you, buddy? How's that working out for you? You know, like, the Cowboys aren't going anywhere. Philly, I hate to say it, I love my Eagles, but they're not going anywhere. And now we get to the Giants. The Giants, who, with or without Malik Nabers, are an awful, awful offense. They don't do anything correctly. They don't run the ball when they need to. They can, I mean, Daniel Jones can barely, Haniel Donias, can barely He can barely throw the ball more than 10 yards. Barely. And the receivers are awful. No separation, no space, bad route running, the whole nine. There is nothing. The only sin, it's crazy. We have two different things here. You know what's great? Between the worst team in the division and the best team, they're flipped. Great offense, bad defense, Washington. Bad offense, great defense, New York. It's and then the two teams in the middle are fighting to see which, and the two teams that should be winning the division don't care to win football games. So it's astounding to me how this division is so crap from top to bottom. Because listen, I like Washington. I want to see them do well. I want to see the redheaded stepchild of the NFC East do well. The problem is their defense isn't good. So like eventually they're gonna get caught by somebody, and it's gonna implode. So it's just, I look at that whole division, and it's a mess. Nobody does anything well. Nobody on that team, nobody on those four teams, I should say, none of those coaching staffs are good. None of them. And this division is probably gonna come down. Like, we might have, because based on how the NFL in general is going, and we'll talk about that, but based on the NFL in general has been going through 6 weeks, it's still early yet, and everybody's still tight. But if it remains this tight, three teams out of the NFC could be going to the playoffs. I don't want that, because that's bad. That's bad football for everybody. I like my division. That's bad football.
A couple housekeeping notes before I go to Shane. Happy birthday, Jerry Jones. Hope it's a good one. I'm sorry it's not. You got absolutely smoked.
I was gonna say, why are we wishing him a happy birthday?
Oh wait, did you hear what he said? He's not gonna entertain the idea of a coaching change or philosophy change, whatever it is.
Did he say that in the presser today? You know what other presser?
Yeah,
I was surprised.
Who's he gonna go in the hot tub with?
Yeah. Who's he gonna go in the hot tub with? You know who else had to say something? Kevin Stefanski, and he said, no, we're keeping Deshaun Watson, yeah, because you put all that money into him. And then also last housekeeping note, the Lions used their offensive linemen as receivers basically that entire game. So if that doesn't tell you about the Cowboys are, I don't know where to go. Shane, what are your overall thoughts on the abysmal NFC East?
Yeah. look, as far as the NFC East goes, Philly, I don't know. Sirianni's obviously not a good head coach, but I just, in general, I think Kellen Moore and Fangio are kind of overrated as coordinators. I'm starting to feel that way more and more as time goes on. Not just because of this year, but because they've now had consecutive, stops that were mediocre at best. So it's kind of like, well, are they the problem? not that Sirianni isn't, but you know what I mean. And not to mention that, you know, Sirianni was chirping at the Browns sideline. It's like, dude, you're the head coach, and this team.
He was chirping at the fans. He was chirping at the fans.
Yeah,
who right, were yelling at him.
Yeah, that yeah. was the most clown thing I've ever seen in my life. You're chirping at your own fans who hate you because they know you suck more than you know you suck.
Yeah, it's like, dude, this is... You don't... I told you guys this earlier, but like... You don't get to do that if you're a head coach, period. I don't care what the scenario is or the circumstance. And you especially don't get to do that if the team you beat is 1-4. It's not impressive. Okay, if you're a star wide receiver, because if you're a star wide receiver, you can be a little bit of a diva. I don't like it, but that's just, you know. Most
we'll get to a diva receiver you won't like in a little bit, Shane. So yeah,
can't wait. but you know, if they want to do that. After beating, you know, like the Chiefs or the Vikings, you know, one of the really good teams this year, then it's like, okay, that's more understandable. But for the head coach to do that to his own fans after beating the goddamn Browns, bro, like, dude, come on, shut up. Like, that's just, he's a man child, Sirianni. Like, I'm sorry, but he just is. Why am I sorry? I'm not offending anybody with that. Except him. And I don't care. So
it's too funny.
It's God. the Commanders having a bad defense is really, really ironic. Because
Dan Quinn's a defensive coach. Is that part of it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've noticed that, though, this year. Like, a lot of the really, you know, like, a lot of the defensive head coaches have really crappy defenses, which is kind of interesting. Ironically, I think the best coach in that division, the best head coach, at least, is Brian Daboll. He is the one with the worst team, which is not his fault.
Because he's
stuck in the Giants and they're a poverty franchise. But, sorry, Giants fans, I know you don't like to hear that, but it's just true.
Oh, they'll flex the rings in your face. People are like, oh, look at all the rings we got.
Oh my God, that's what John Mara did to the Seahawks fans.
But like, you know what's crazy, though? Giants fans want to flex that, but outside of your rings, you are a trash franchise. Outside of those years, specifically, you are a garbage franchise. Like, historically.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm just chuckling this whole pod because, bro, this is the fucking dumbest week of football ever. So I apologize for the constant chuckling.
The only reason the Giants have any clout at all is the first two words in their name.
New York.
Yeah. It's the biggest sports market in the country.
Well, and you play the, in the biggest... Oh my God.
You play in New Jersey. You
play in New Jersey.
It's both of them.
But no, can we be more specific? They play 15 minutes from your house, Brandon.
Yes. Oh my God. I can listen. Real quick. I can go all day about how much I hate the fact that we get referred to as the New York area. I'm like, okay, the area? Maybe. But when you refer to us geographically, this is New Jersey. They play in East Rutherford, which is 15 minutes from my house. I hate the fact that not just the Giants, that both teams, Giants and Jets, are called New York. It's ridiculous.
And then NBC is like, let's do screenshots of Times Square and whatever. It's like,
there's no stadium in New York City. The stadium is in New Jersey. I don't understand this. And the thing is, you would figure over time too, real quick. You would figure over time they would understand that New Jersey people don't like being called New York. We hate that here with a passion. So I hate it. I turn off the broadcast. I'd rather just watch the game on mute, because all they talk about when they refer to those two teams is, oh, look at the pretty New York style in the New York area. Yeah, you don't play in New York City.
So. Oh my God. I can't stop laughing.
I mean, to be fair, a lot of teams don't play in the city where they're, you know, where their name is. Like,
yeah. But we're talking about state though.
Yeah, no, I know, but like Rams and Chargers don't play in LA.
Yeah, at least they're in the same state. Like, it's like, yeah, I know.
Or the Commanders, they're not in Washington, D.C., they're in Maryland.
They're Landover, Maryland, for God's sake.
Why would you want to put a team in D.C., in actual D.C., though?
Yeah, well, there's no room, so that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, but Shane, continue. So the Giants are Giants.
I don't have a problem with them being named New York just at face value, because, I mean, that's, you know, that is, New York is the biggest city in the country. So, like, yeah, obviously name that for marketing reasons, but it's like, okay, but then why do you put them in a different state? That's the part where I'm like, okay.
You could put them? Because New York only has one true team. You know who it is? The Buffalo Bills. You know where Buffalo's located? Almost next to Toronto in Canada.
Yeah.
Like, you could put those two, all three teams, in that state. It would be more perfect. It would be, you know, it would make sense rather than putting them in New Jersey and calling them New York.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Cowboy stuff, Shane, do you have anything?
No.
No, done. No.
this is exactly what I expected. Philly is one of the most, if not the most, frustrating teams in the league for me, because I mean, this is in my opinion, this is a top five roster in the NFL.
Philadelphia, absolutely. Philly, absolutely.
Tell me about it. Why do you think I'm pulling my hair out every week?
And they're just being wasted by garbage coaches. I'm like, dude, get someone real in there. And like, let's, you know, I don't know. I don't know what Howie Roseman's waiting for, but maybe Christmas. I don't know.
No, Jesus. Oh my God.
Yeah, when we're 5-10. Nice.
Yeah. Right.
Great.
Anyways.
Goodness.
Yeah, I know. So that was that. Yeah, London. So glad they play games there. That's
okay. Awesome. I'll speed through games we're not gonna cover. Shane, I'm gonna ask you, do you wanna talk about Spencer Rattler this week? Would you rather do it on Thursday where we can do Bo Nix versus Spencer Rattler? Next week?
Yeah, no, it's too early to judge a rookie quarterback based on one performance.
Okay, fair. Okay, so Jags-Bears, I slept through it. Screw it. The game was stupid. We did Commanders-Ravens. Commanders performed pretty well. Quarterback room, or whatever we call it. Your quarterback segment, Shane. Let's do Drake May with a bad offensive line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, all things considered, I think really he did okay. You know, was it great? No. Obviously, they got killed. But, you know, for his first start, I mean, Houston's not, that's not an easy team to play for your first NFL start. And, you know, I mean, he was getting pressured all day. But he hung in there. You know, he had, what did he have? 250-something yards. A few touchdowns, a couple picks. So, you know, not like amazing, but not terrible either. I mean, he certainly could have done worse. I think overall, this is just a, you know, when you look at quarterbacks going to the NFL, there's, you know, the guys that come out of college, it's like, this is how I feel about Drake May and Caleb Williams, where from the neck down, they are fantastic. They, you know, they got the size, they have the scramble ability, like, you know, pretty decent speed. I mean, not like Lamar Jackson speed or anything, but, you know, enough. strong arms, you know, fairly accurate. They just make bad decisions with the ball. And, you know, that's, well, among other things, but but that's besides the point. And so, you know, for guys, for quarterbacks like those, and, you know, like, this is, it's like those guys, Darnold is another example, Zach Wilson, you know, you need, in order for them to be successful in the NFL, they need to go to a situation where they, where it doesn't feel like they're drowning. Because it's, you know, even Bo Nix, who was the most NFL ready of any of these guys, even he, with Sean Payton, a Super Bowl champion, offensive-minded, you know, really intelligent guy, even he struggled his first few games. It's
he's not hard. he's not even perfect yet either. He's getting there. I feel confident he's getting there, but he's not perfect yet. Bo Nix isn't perfect yet.
And, you know, I think last year we saw C.J. Stroud, how quickly he clicked, and that doesn't happen. That happens like maybe once every 10 years. You know, before this, I mean, what was the last time that a rookie picked it up that quick? Andrew Luck in 2012?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, there might have been one sooner, but I can't think of it. So, yeah, I mean, it, you know, when you, if, especially if you're going to throw a guy in there early, you got to have, you know, at least an offensive line or some weapons or a really smart offensive-minded coach to help the guy. And they don't have any of that here. So this is, you know, this is kind of a concern for me. And that was the concern for me as well with Caleb Williams. But obviously he was okay today. But yeah, all that considered, though, I mean... you know, I was expecting a lot worse from Drake May. I really was, just with all those factors in mind. And, you know, I mean, passer rating of 88, it's not terrible. I mean, for your first start, like, if I'm Gerard Mayo and crew, I'm not upset about that at all.
Yeah, especially in the first half where it looked like he was going to get killed. Like, there was a D lineman on him every second. Let's see. Cardinals, Packers. Honestly, it's a toss. The box score game for me. It's a toss game for me if I'm Arizona. It's kind of whatever. Bucks dropped a 50 burger on Spencer Rattler. Okay. Chargers, Broncos. I really hate watching this division minus the Chiefs anyway. Sorry, we're a Chargers pod, but this is true. I really don't like watching
the Chiefs.
I like watching the Chiefs. The Chargers, I just can't tell what they are. Brandon, do you have anything on Chargers Broncos? Actually, Shane, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say this is just the division of like close, low scoring games.
Yes. Yep.
Thank
yes.
You. Oh
yes.
My God! Someone said it. Thank God.
All of them. Yeah. Broncos. Yeah, can we run the ball more, please?
Yes, you have Javonte Williams. You have Javonte.
Why? Yeah.
Brandon, do you have anything on that game?
You know, the Broncos aren't great, but yeah, and not just Javonte, but Jaleel McLaughlin's not a bad running back either.
I like McLaughlin. Yeah.
Gotta use him. I mean, this goes for like every team. Like, I feel like no team runs the ball in the NFL when they should. It's like, oh my God, pay me, I'll do a better job. But
I really want to see
help with the time of possession battles.
Yes, which, it would.
Oh my god.
I would
like, for the Broncos Chargers game. Broncos only had the ball for 22 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my god.
You'd have run the ball.
Yeah,
but a few more minutes.
Yeah. I've always said this. I really want Brandon to be the next head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles cuz I just want to see what he does.
We would not lose a game. I swear to God.
I think I was going to say either that and I'll be the OC or vice versa.
Jesus. Oh, please. Oh, please. Oh, please. I need that because you know why? Not only would it be my lifelong dream, but at the same time, like, I'd be getting paid to coach my favorite team to a Super Bowl and win it. Oh my God. Like
this is how bad Nick Sirianni has been this is where we're at.
When 95% of the fan base can tell you suck and tell you exactly what you're doing wrong, and then you proceed to do it next week, and the week after, and the week after, and the week after that, something has to change. It's ridiculous.
You know what other teams is the same thing week after week, and it doesn't change? The Las Vegas Raiders. What the hell is that? That game was boring. Pittsburgh, don't put in Russell Wilson, please.
Yeah,
Justin Fields is fine.
If Pittsburgh knew what was good for them, which Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith don't, then your ride was the guy that's got you at a 4-2 record. Yeah, stick with that.
Yeah. Falcons.
I'd be shocked if they went to Russ at this point. I mean,
yeah, I 100% agree.
I wonder if Russ will be traded somewhere.
Trade deadline. Interesting thought. Interesting thought. Raiders.
Robert, you're like 90 feet away from your mic right now.
Again.
Here we go again.
Why does this happen every week? Well, he's fixing that. I'll talk.
Hello.
Can
you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah,
I can hear
back.
You okay now.
It's a Discord thing. So guess what? I have to disconnect and then reconnect through Discord. No, but go ahead, Shane, because I mean, are you thinking Raiders for him, like, in a smaller trade? Like, I don't think it would actually help the Raiders, but what are you thinking for Russ?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it'd be the Raiders necessarily, but, I mean, yeah, it could be them, Miami. I could see that. Who else? Yeah, that's probably it. Well, yeah. Depending on how things go, maybe the Saints, that's more of a long shot. But like if Derek Carr is out for a long time and Spencer Rattler is bad or something, I don't know. But
yeah, Carr's going to be out for like 4 weeks.
That's just all hypotheticals.
Falcons, Panthers, anything? Anything?
No.
I mean, I can't.
Went about as expected.
Yeah. all right. Shane, welcome to the thing you hate the most in the NFL, or one of the things you hate the most in the NFL, receivers being divas. not that I say this all the time, but I'm just going to say this for this purpose.
You say the one of the things that you hate most about the NFL, I was like, there's one.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple, but bro, Calvin Ridley, man, I know you didn't get any catches, and I'm gonna do an NSFW warning for this, even though who cares, if I could find it.
Care, Robert.
Okay, look. I he's talking about his target share and the fact he's not getting any targets. And here's what he said at the press conference after the game. I need some in the beginning of the fucking game too. Shit is getting crazy for me. Thoughts?
Well, are you getting open?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, well, then, like, shut the, like, hell up.
Yeah. It's always the receivers who create no separation that complain about not getting the ball. It's like, well, you're not open. You're not going to get the ball. Like, you know, like we had that issue, what, when in the first game, we're like, oh, you know, Kyler Murray's not finding MHJ. And then what happened after that? He's been finding him because MHJ is open. But if you're not open, you can't complain about not getting the ball. Like, come on, man. The thing is, especially when you're an older wide receiver and you're more or less past whatever prime you had. Because let's face it, Calvin Ridley's not good anymore, period. But, like, you've got to realize when you aren't doing your job. Because usually when you don't get targets anymore and you don't get, you know, the snap count percentages anymore and you're not getting on the field anymore and things like that, you've got to realize, hey, maybe it's a me problem rather than blaming everybody else but me. So this is becoming a problem just across sports in general. There's a lack of accountability from everybody at every position. And it's the teams that realize it sooner rather than later that end up fixing their issues and ironing stuff out. And when you're going on a social media tirade because you're complaining about the fact that pretty much you suck and your team sucks, that tells you all you need to know about the state of that team. Because every team that has a diva like that that goes complaining on social media, it never ends well.
He was complaining to the reporters in the damn locker room in front of all his teammates. That's what the guy did today. Yeah. And look, I'm not defending Will Levis here. He's bad, okay? He's very, very bad. I'm not defending him. But the Titans don't have a number one receiver. That's just facts.
Yeah, no.
Yet they pay two of them. Yet they pay two of them as number ones.
They could have had one, but
they traded him.
Thank you.
and then instead paid a washed up guy that money.
Oh man, I thank God every day for AJ Brown. You have no idea.
Morons.
Absolute idiots. That's all I got. 40 minutes of content. NFL
and this is why you're a poverty franchise.
Yes.
I have come to the realization that I'm gonna cry because not only will DeSean Jackson never have earned a ring, AJ Brown won't get that chance either. And it's so sad to me.
You know what's sad for me? You know what I have to do next Sunday?
What?
I gotta wake up at 5 a.m. to watch Patriots Jaguars.
Oh my god, it's earlier?
No, you don't.
Wait,
No, it's at 6:30, but I'm gonna wake up and watch it, and I'm not happy about it.
But why? So why you wake up an hour and a half early?
I'm doing inactive reports. Inactive reports come out at 90 minutes before game time.
I won't even be awake. I mean, for you, that's 5 o'clock. For me, that's 8. Like, I won't be awake. I'll wake up to 30,000 texts, but I won't be awake.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Anything else NFL-related for today? That's all I got. This was a terrible schedule today. This sucked.
No. Yeah. Can we get to the movie now?
Yes. Shane, are you ready to move on?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Pan's Labyrinth. Go ahead, Shane. Tell us. This has been much anticipated because we couldn't get to work previously for like a year and a half. Here we are. We watched it on Tubi. Thank you, Tubi, for your service. Actually, thank you, Fox. Right? Is Fox Tubi? I think Fox runs that. Thank you, Fox.
No idea.
For that, but Shane, go ahead. Pan's Labyrinth.
Well. This, I remember when I first watched this movie, I'd never heard of it, but I watched it in my Spanish class, and we watched it with Spanish subtitles, and amazingly, I was able to follow it pretty well, But I was just, it's so, you know, it's like, normally when you watch movies in school, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. But this one, I mean, it's just right away, I was just so captivated by it. You know, it's interesting because it's this kind of dark fantasy story, but it's also very grounded in reality, having, you know, being set in Spain in 1944, and, you know, it's like, it's the real world, and they're involved in the war and whatever else, and then there's this other kind of like fantasy underworld, and so I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And it's, you know, the thing is, it's like, it's this, you know, kind of make-believe world, but a lot of times when that happens in movies, it's like a very complicated, complex world with all these crazy rules that you have to like try and figure out, but this is very simple, it's easy to understand, yet it still feels very different and so mystical. And, you know, it's just, I just think it's a, it helps that it's, you know, kind of a, almost like a quest movie in a way, where it's just, they lay it out. It's like, okay, these are your three tasks. It's like, all right, here we go. And then, of course, you know, they don't go to plan and things happen, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, I really, you know, I enjoyed all the performances and everything, but, you know, really, I like the imagination that goes into this movie with, you know, the set design and the costumes, the makeup and everything. It's just insane. You know, and, yeah, and kind of blending that with some real world stuff as well. And just all the different themes that can be kind of interwoven with that. So yeah, I could say more, and I probably will shortly, but I want to hear your guys' thoughts first.
Brandon, please go ahead.
Oh boy. Then I think I said to you, because Rob, you called me in like the first like 30 minutes of this movie or so.
I had a question that ended up us talking about the Civil War. Do you want to talk about that? Because for some random ass reason, even though I understand, because they talked about it for a reason, because they were talking about one of the Bengals coaches, I think, something like that. What was it again? What did I ask you about, some line or whatever?
Yeah, the Mason-Dixon line. Yeah.
For some random reason, Chris Collinsworth and Mike Tirico brought up the Mason-Dixon line, and I was like, what is this? Let me call Brandon because he'll know. And he explained it to me, and it has quite an interesting history.
I mean, the good thing is that you at least gave me something for me to focus on, because my attention was starting to drift on the movie, and then once you called me, it helped me kind of like refocus. Because, listen, I like this movie, I really do, but I was looking at this the whole time, and I was like, plain and simple, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I think that's a very fair reaction. I think that's very, very fair.
Like I was waiting for stuff to happen, and then when stuff finally did start to happen, I was like, I was trying to remember what time period we were in for this movie, because obviously it takes place in the past.
1944 is the year.
Yeah, but it felt like, because how bizarre the movie got like halfway through, I forgot when it was set, and then I was like, oh. I was like, okay, I knew it was a supernatural movie. I was like, oh my God. It was like, I just didn't expect it to just kind of, I guess, be what it was. I will say, above all else, I say this about a lot of movies, but this in particular, especially towards like the last third of this movie, is some of the best acting I've seen in a while. I had no problems with how, you know, how greatly acted it was. You can feel the emotion. I mean, I forget the actors have grown now, but the one that played the little girl, Ophelia. I forget what her name is.
Ivana something.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, she's grown now. She's older than us now, crazy enough.
She's always been older than us, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying like you know, look at
nah,
like you
I'm,
think about
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, no, but it's like you know, you think about 2006, and you look at her like, oh, it's a little kid, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, she's like 30 now, and she is 30. It's like, holy crap. But I mean, I was like, the ending, it left me unsatisfied. But at the same time, I mean, everybody kind of met a peaceful conclusion, I guess, in some ways. Well, except for poor Mercedes. Well, in a way she did, but also didn't. So that kind of stunk. But I just know that when it comes to movies like this, like supernatural movies are hard to kind of, for me to kind of sit down and sit through. Cause I'm like, no matter if it's a supernatural horror or supernatural fantasy or supernatural, like, you know, like a kid's movie, I'm like, I don't know. Like it never truly grabs my attention fully just because I don't like movies. Obviously with a ton of like, you know, CGI and special effects and all these things like that. But I thought just the acting is what separated this movie above others other supernatural like fantasy movies that I've seen, because of the other ones, you know, they get bad ratings or the acting is like really cheesy or really just like unfunny or whatever. It's like, this was about a serious time period, a serious matter, and the acting was really, really good. You know, it's definitely a different watch because we're watching something that's not in English. Even though I understand a little bit of Spanish, even without the subtitles, I still understood a good like half of it, or at least I could understand what was going on, just because I part Spanish myself, part Hispanic. But it definitely was a movie where I don't know if I'd watch it again. And I know I remember seeing the ratings for this on Rotten Tomatoes for this movie, and I remember it being pretty high, I think, but
it's a 95.
Yeah, that's critics. Too high. I don't know where the 95 comes from, but I mean,
because it's Guillermo del Toro.
Because it's del Toro.
Yeah.
Probably.
But, I mean,
probably.
Yeah. But like, I'm like, geez. I mean, every character had something I liked in it. You know, I mean, having somebody as ruthless as Captain Vidal. You know, cold, ruthless, evil. And like I said, I don't know these actors because they're all Spanish actors. So I don't really. I mean, I think I know the one that plays Mercedes. I think I've seen her in other stuff, but the rest of them I haven't. And they all. I mean, everybody was so convincing. I was like, man, when is this guy gonna die? Like in this movie, I'm like, I'm waiting for this dude to die. Like it was one of those things where, man, it was such a good, you know, villain performance that it was like, yes, like that was so well done. Like I've seen other movies just executed poorly, and that did it well, especially for a supernatural kind of movie. I thought it was gross at times. I know it was rated R, but I was like, ooh, like some of that stuff is kind of like just gross, like grotesque. Like, I mean, supernatural and it's fantasy, but I was like, ooh, this is like warp. Like there was like whatever that magic root was, that like it was a magic root, but yet somehow it also took the form of like a baby kind of.
Bro, what caught me was the eyeball, the hand eyeball guy. That caught me. The hand eyeball guy.
Yeah, I was like, my God, this is something you would see in like a video game, like in a horror, like a Dead Space or like a Amnesia.
Oh my
or something
god,
like
bro.
that.
Don't tell me about I have to play Dead Space in like a few weeks. God damn it.
Like, I mean, they don't look like that per se, but I was like, oh, when I was like, the monster like in that in this movie is that is like basically as gross as that. I was like, oh my god. Like, you know, it wasn't scary, but I was like, oh, that's gross.
Safe to say, don't take your kids to watch this movie. Please don't.
Yeah, it's not it's funny because it plays like a fairy tale, but it's not,
It's not at all.
and it's rated R.
It's
So
dark fantasy. Yeah.
yeah, and it's not like Tim Burton's dark fantasy where it's like, oh, it's PG or PG-13, like, oh, bring your kids out to a dark fantasy movie. No, this is rated R for a reason. But I like it. It's not a 95% like Rotten Tomatoes wants to give it, but if I had to rate it anything, I think the past few movies I've given it like nines and 8.5s. I think my lowest rating so far this season has been a 7.
Oh, it's gonna
So
get lower next week. We're gonna start giving out fours and fives next week.
no, man, I don't think we gave out, maybe we had 1 week where we gave out a 4 or 5.
Yes, I did. And you know what movie that was? The Grinch. I
Yeah,
gave it like a five.
no, thank you. But yeah, with this, I feel comfortable giving it. Oh, I'm stuck between either 7.5 or 8, but I don't want to give a bunch of 8s out too. I'll go 7.5. I like it. I don't think I would come back to it, but it's something I feel like would be fun to kind of sit down, like maybe little older kids, like not kids, but like preteens. I mean, obviously, and that's kind of what how old the girl was in the movie. That's kind of the age group you have to kind of watch this with. It's like it's got a little bit of fantasy, a little bit of fairy tale, a little bit of like kind of almost horror aspects, a little bit of, you know, there's violence. You know, it makes sense. I like this movie because it blends a lot of different genres well together, but it's very, I think it's niche. So it's kind of a hard watch at times, but I'm comfortable giving it like a 7.5.
The whole time I was watching this movie, I was like, "God damn, Guillermo del Toro, you're crazy. You're just like, because like,
It's like a fever dream.
bro, like, I, this is why I love Guillermo del Toro, right? And by the way, I would highly recommend if you want to watch this movie. At least this is my experience. Shane might give you a more succinct recommendation than I would. My first Guillermo del Toro movie was Shape of Water,
Oh,
so.
yeah.
I really got to understand his sensibilities through that. Then his Pinocchio version is incredible. It's probably the best Pinocchio movie since, original fucking Pinocchio. Pacific Rim, I really liked. It's not Pacific Rim isn't amazing, but I really liked it. And then you go to I haven't done the Hellboy movies. I probably should. And then you go to Pan's Labyrinth and you just sit, right? Because the whole time I was like, man, just thinking about this guy's career and how imaginative he is, how creative he is. And this is where he's at his most creative. This is when he's at his most imaginative. Like, this is his magnum
Yeah.
opus. This is his magnum opus to me, I think, easily. And I know a lot of other people have said that. I looked online. This is what people say. This is his magnum opus. I definitely think it is. And then think so that's part of it, and I think it being in Spanish is actually a huge advantage for me because I think it allows the dialogue to breathe in its own way and find its own space, and I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed how weird the creatures were because I'm like, this is Guillermo del Toro's sensibility to like 2000. It's insane. To me, I agree with the critics. This is a 9.5 to me. This is a phenomenal film in every perspective to me. Just because I just love what Guillermo del Toro does with filmmaking. Because I don't think anyone does what he does at, like in the way he does it, I guess. I wonder if that's a good explanation, Shane, but I don't think there's a director out there these days
Yeah.
that's like Guillermo del Toro. And I think this movie represents his filmography and who he is as a director and as a creative thinker more than anything.
Yeah, he's definitely very unique as a filmmaker in a good way. You know, and that's, I think, you know, Brandon brought up Tim Burton, and you're saying, like, you know, sort of like how Tim Burton, but not really, you know, and that's like, that's how I've always felt. It's like, if I had to pick somebody that's most similar to him, I guess it would probably be, yeah, like Tim Burton, but even that feels wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyways, yeah, no, I think, yeah, I'd probably, this movie for me is an A-. You know, I think.
Oh my God, for once, I'm the lowest score of the week.
I mean, A- for me is like a, you know, probably like a 9, 8.5, 9, something like that. But it, yeah, no, it's just, because I think it's all great. And I think the only things that hold it back for me is just that I feel like the ending is a little bit too predictable. And it's, which that happens a lot in movies, and normally it's not a big deal for me, but in this one, with kind of the unique way that they set up the story, you kind of, it's one of those movies where you're thinking, it's like, okay, there's going to be some twist, and then there just isn't really. So, you know, but that's, I mean, that's kind of nitpicky, but there's that, and you know, it's on the positive side, though. I mean, I think the thing that's most impressive is the costumes, the set designs, the, you know, just the visuals. It's incredible. And I think Vidal, the villain, is, I'm not usually afraid of, or like, not afraid, but normally when a villain shows up on screen in a movie, I'm not like, oh God, you know, whenever Vidal shows up, especially in the second half, I'm like, oh crap, something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, which doesn't, I don't feel that way very often. I mean, there's a few, like Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men, you know, he's, whenever he shows up, I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. The Dark Knight, Joker, Thanos in Infinity War, Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, classic.
In Silence of the Lambs, this guy, and are there any others? I don't know. That's kind of it. where I just, like, genuinely feel tense. I'm like, oh, crap, you know. Get, like, a pit in my stomach, like something's going to go down. So, you know, good job with that. yeah. Otherwise, though, good time here for me. And next week, we followed up with a great movie, Venom.
Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage.
Still have not seen this movie, so.
Yes, that's also part of why I decided to do this. Also, optional viewing for this, if you wish, because we're going to do a lot of context things. We're gonna talk about the history of this Venom next week. That's my biggest intention, to talk about, you know, how Tom Hardy came up with the voice. We'll talk about that. There's some great stuff on that. You know, so we're going to talk about the history of, because this is quote unquote the last time we'll see him. I'm not confident in that, but who knows? In Venom 3 Last Dance. Yeah, right. But still, we're going to treat it as that for the sake of the podcast. But yeah, Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage, optional viewing. Venom 1, the original Venom movie, that is optional, because we will talk about it amongst this movie as well. So we're mostly going to talk about this Let There Be Carnage, but I want to talk about the first one. So that is optional, if you both wish to do so, is to watch both of them. But yes, we're following up Pan's Labyrinth with this. Just this movie is funny. It's stupid. I don't know. We'll talk about it. Let's just get this right out of the way for our audience. This is going to be our lowest score of the year. This is going to finish in last place. There's not even a question. But I also really like this movie. And there's parts of this movie in particular that I think we're really going to like, combining or separate. But here's the thing. So so we did Joker as a preview to Joker Follow Ado, which was Follow Ado was terrible. We're doing Let There Be Carnage as a we're doing Let There Be Carnage leading into Venom Last Dance. And then to finish off this trilogy of this thing that we're doing of watching movies before the sequel comes out, we're going to do Gladiator in November.
Yes.
So,
which is amazing.
Which is amazing from what I've heard. I've never seen it, so I'm waiting till we do that. So that's
wrong. What week are we doing that?
Thanksgiving week.
Let's go.
We're doing it on Thanksgiving.
And
is that 13? Oh yeah, 13.
Yeah.
I might just spontaneously combust that week because we're doing that movie.
But yeah, so
I have. This week we're doing Venom 2, and then the week after that's It for Halloween.
Oh, we're doing It the sorry, oh my lord. Okay, great. I love it.
And then week 9, I have nothing at the moment. Week 10 is Hurt Locker, which is a war movie for Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then week 13, Gladiator. So since these are some pretty dark and heavy movies we're doing, I think for week 9, we're going to have to do a comedy or something.
Yes.
we've done a lot of kind of, like, even when we did Adventureland last week, like, there had some dark moments in that movie. Like,
yeah. The thing is, I also think Venom 2 is a little bit of a palate cleanser, because this is considered our bad movie of the year, kind of. This is considered our, like, quote-unquote bad movie. Even though I just think this movie's stupid and fun, and that's kind of the point. Shane, I'm surprised you haven't seen this movie. Although, to be frank, we both don't really like Sony Spider-Man universe movies.
I hated the first one, and I have not seen an SSU movie ever since. So,
That is very respectable.
I have, I don't know. You've always said, like, Have you seen it? I'm like, I have no reason to watch this movie. Like,
and that's also why
the first one.
And that's also why we're doing it for the show.
Yeah.
Because I want you to see it. Because I think it does a lot of things better than the first one. It does some things a little different. But how many times have you seen this movie, Brandon? How many times have you seen Let There Be Carnage?
I've seen it once, so I don't remember everything because I saw it, like, it was on TV a couple months ago, so I'll be rewatching this.
This is my third time seeing it. I watched it while I was in Canada, just out of whatever. I was bored.
I'm gonna let it be known next week that I think the first one is way better. So
I am the opposite, so we'll have a fun debate about that. But yeah, Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Is someone eating chips?
I was going to say that.
I was getting out of payday bar.
Oh, yes.
I was going to say that.
You know what? And you know what's funny? That is the perfect timing while we're talking about Venom. Instead of, like,
I'm just saying, man. They just came out with a payday bar that's covered in chocolate.
Oh my God.
I'm obsessed.
I need it.
Peanut butter caramel center, the peanuts on the outside, and then a little chocolate, just a nice chocolate coat. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, we'll also get into that caramel versus caramel debate.
Ooh, we should do that at some point.
Oh,
that's interesting.
I kind of say them interchangeably.
I'm a caramel person, but I'm fine with either way.
I say caramel.
I don't really care.
Let's be honest, caramel makes more sense. Like,
there's
objectively
an A in
speaking.
There. There's an
yeah,
A.
That's how it's spelled. Like, it's not spelled caramel, it's spelled caramel. But most people on the West Coast say caramel. I don't know why.
Yeah,
but
a bunch of weirdos over there by you. Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, because we're all too stoned, so.
Oh, Jesus. Not me, bro, but you might want to be stoned watching Venom 2 on this point. there's some funny quotes in this movie, and on top of this, we're going to talk about some Spider-Man adjacent things. We're going to do a little No Way Home stuff here, because it's also part of the history of this Venom. And screw it, we'll talk some Topher Grace Venom while we're at it. I'll talk about that horrible version of Venom.
Yes.
We'll talk about the Venom that started all in Topher Grace and how he connects to this Venom, because he actually has a very unique connection to this version of Venom. So we'll talk about that as well. But yeah, that is it for today. We went an hour, guys, on a Sunday.
We also forgot probably the most important thing of the day, though.
Which is?
It's not a happy subject, but prayers to Aiden Hutchinson, because that
prayers,
angel...
prayers,
yeah, dude.
You know what? I'll be honest. I'll be honest. It was what was the? I'll look it up right now. The actual diagnosis actually wasn't as bad.
They said broken. They said what? Broken fibula.
Broken tibula. Which is bad. Yeah. Which is bad, but I was expecting something. I was expecting a tibula, a fibula, and I was expecting all of that shit. You know what I mean? So the fact that it's just a tibula is very, very, I'm very thankful it's just that. But he underwent immediate surgery, like immediately tonight. So prayers to him, because that is scary. Yeah. I saw the injury.
It's usually not a good sign when you go into immediate surgery, not even when, like, after you get back home, but if you're on the road and they're like, yeah, we need to do this now.
Yeah. Very, 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 very scary stuff. Watching that live was freaky. That was very scary. I didn't even get a good view of it because the late window was so terrible, and then I rewinded it and watched it, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And you'll see it even more because, Josh put it, I think, in our TCA chat.
Yes, he did. He did. He put different camera angles of it too. I watched small parts of it. I think the one that he posted has different camera angles. I could be wrong.
That's exactly what I want to watch.
And the crazy thing is that Aiden Hutchinson still finished the play.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So prayers to him, man. But can you believe this is the highest amount of injuries to quote unquote top 100 players in the history of the NFL?
I can believe it.
I thought last year's injuries were pretty bad.
This is a different level. This is insane.
And that's part of the reason why football's been so bad for 6 weeks. Because so many high profile guys are out. It feels like some weeks we're watching the CFL, like it's like, this guy like who the hell? What the hell is his name? AJ Tracy, the running back for the Giants. I'm like, who the hell is that?
Tyrone Tracy.
Never heard of that? Whatever his name is.
He was a fifth round rookie out of Purdue.
Shows how much I know about the NFCs. I can't even name the bad like the third, fourth string running back for the Giants. Jesus. But. This is so bad. And I mean, the good thing is all these guys, well, not all, but a good majority of these guys are starting to come back, or they're on their way back, or they should be back.
Or they're on IR and will be back. So, also, speaking of that, Nick Chubb is training to be back next week, Brandon.
Let's go.
So he'll be on a pitch count. You're right. He won't be like the main guy probably. But if he is, that'd be sick. It'd be sick to have him back. It'd be awesome. But yeah, prayers to Aiden Hutchinson, man. That was scary. That was very, very scary. We will see you all tomorrow for Jets and Bills. For post credit scene, we're gonna talk some ESPN schematics, because they added this game in particular to the linear ABC and six others. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, along with Brandon's Yankees we'll get your live reaction to that game tomorrow night.
Tomorrow's a crazy day in my area. There's six teams playing tomorrow in the New York, New Jersey area.
That is nuts.
That is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
That is absolutely insane. Yeah, crazy stuff. Insane. Just an insane day all around. Tomorrow's going to be even more insane. But yeah, we'll
gonna
talk to you.
Going to be some wild side talk coming from Coney Island.
Oh my god. Yeah, side talk that Coney Island YouTube channel that Shane has put us on, it's hilarious. It's great. It's so funny. It's great. What has this pod devolved into, man? This is delirious as hell because of this.
This is what happens when the NFL is trash.
Or just on a given mess. Sunday. Yeah.
We understand, for anybody listening, we understand that there was a lot of this last year, because like, can you really blame us with how bad the NFL has been? What we've gone through the past year and a half of watching football. We've become delirious.
See, we're not just here to talk about football. We're here to entertain, all right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
if you don't like it, you can leave.
We're also here to listen to Shane on unraveling a payday bar.
Hell yeah.
And meme and Discord messing up my mic.
I'm trying to like hold it as far away from my mic as possible. I'm just like, nah.
I still hear it. Why am I still hearing
it? Clearly, my mic is just too good.
Yeah, and my mic is. Goodness. It's not even my mic. It's damn Discord.
No, it's probably Discord.
It is Discord. I don't know. Discord, update your app. Please. No. I love Discord. I really do. I love Discord, but we need updates here. But yeah, that'll be it. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you on Thursday. We'll see you on Sunday next week for Venom. And more football.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
We're gonna have fun. Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, Bills Jets should be interesting tomorrow. All right, we will talk to you guys then. For Shane, for Brandon, thank you for joining us on this Sunday. Another long one, and another weird one, as expected. We will see you back here tomorrow.
See you, everybody.
Take care, everybody. Have a good one.